Fuck, it's hot.
What kind of beer do you drink? I don't know. I like a Heineken. Heineken? Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon. You'll be missed, Dennis Hopper. You'll be missed.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys!
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And here's Johnny.
And look, what's that?
I've been working on it.
It's too hot for this.
I've disappeared from the camera again.
You have, yeah.
Shit. And I'm back. Hey, everyone.
There you are. All right, should we start again or just keep that in? Or
I think we're good. Let's keep on rocking.
Okay. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Werewolves Within. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been watching this week. You didn't watch anything this week. So you didn't remember?
I just don't remember what I watched this week. Oh, I watched Werewolves Within. I don't know.
Werewolves Within. Yeah. It's funny. So did I. So I went ahead and I checked out The Green Knight, and cool. I actually decided to go to the theater here.
Scandalous. Well,
Yep. Spicy terrifying takes. Experience. I debated for a long time. I'm like. I looked up with theaters because I know if people have listened to our show, we've talked about how like the theaters near me have closed down, plus the ArcLight that owned it. The Pacific, we had a lot of Pacifics I live close to, so that was always like the one we'd go check out movies. But with it closed now, I was like, for the last 2-3 months, I've looked for theaters to try out. You know what I mean? Like it's. So I was so comfortable going to the Pacific Theater. It was just like something we did automatically, me and my fiance. So it was like kind of stressing out and then also stressing out about like, you know, what safety protocols, guidelines that each individual theater had. So making sure there was enough like seat distance and how many. They're all different apparently, which kind of was scary. So it's like something to check out. Some have like a 2-seat buffer, some have 1-seat buffer. The mask policy, indoor mask policy is in place. So everybody had to have their mask on unless they're like eating popcorn or drinking something like actively, you know? So, we ended up settling on going to the Lamel Theater, which is like a chain of indie theaters here in LA. And it's a really nice little cute theater. I had never been there. I'm assuming it opened like maybe 2 years ago. And of course, the perfect timing, right? Because the pandemic soon, hit. And I guess they closed. But it's a nice little theater, a little bit out of the way of like that little mess of, Brand and the Galleria. It's a little off one of those streets away from that stuff.
Oh, so cool.
And it's in this tiny little area. It's in this tiny little theater, like 7 screens, little, very intimate seating and stuff. So it was really nice. And so we get there, no problem. We scan our tickets, whatever. We go there. But as soon as we go in there, it's like packed. There's like a lot of people. So my anxiety level just like shot through the roof. Like I was super pumped because I was like, oh, this is like a cool little theater. Everyone's chill. The concession people are talking about Tyler, the Creator as we're passing by. And it's really nice. So so we're just, it was kind of cool. So I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of like a nice little theater. But you walk in and just fucking packed. And I guess I didn't consider the fact that this was kind of a, well, the Green Knight just opened today or opened this weekend. And it's kind of like a lot. There's like this hype behind the movie. You know what I mean? There's a lot of like interest in it. So going the first week, of course, I didn't know why I didn't put that together. But of course, going the first week, there was going to be a lot of people. So, but everyone, you know, everyone, as far as I could tell, everyone followed the mask policy. And there were like 1C buffers. The only thing, me and my fiance, that we had like people like behind us. We had people at the side of us. The other side, it was just people all around us. So it was like kind of like my anxiety level just was like, again, like shot through the roof. I was just like, even my fiance was like, do you want like popcorn or a drink? I was like, no, I don't want to. I'm just going to sit here and not move for the whole movie. So, but once we got there a little early, but once the movie started, I mean, I think everyone just kind of settles in. And one thing I noticed, you just hear everything. Maybe it's because I haven't been to a theater in a long time, or maybe it's because it's kind of like a slow pace kind of a movie. So you just like anybody moving or any little thing, I'm like, what? What was that? Yeah, kind of deal. So it took me off guard because I mean, usually for the past like almost 2 years, me and my fiance would just watch have been watching movies here. So this was like, I don't even remember the last movie I saw in theaters, honestly.
That's a good point. I don't think I remember either.
I know we were planning on watching Bad Boys for Life. It must have been around that time. It was either Star Wars or some superhero thing, probably. That's all I was watching at the time.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. So I would recommend not getting on a flight right now. did I tell you about that? It was like shoulder to shoulder packed. It was completely full. All the flights, like each leg I took.
Oh, man.
Which everybody was super adamant about, like the mask stays on. But then, you know, like you're getting squished between people and it's like, fuck, dude, this sucks.
Yeah. What'd you fly? What airline did you fly out of?
Southwest.
Oh, fuck. That's the one I'm taking
next
month. Shit.
It's like everybody's favorite, but yeah. But they are very, very anal about it. Like on the flight, all the flight attendants are like coming by. They're like, come on, put it back up or they'll kick you off the flight.
Oh, good.
So it's
midair.
Midair, yeah. Hopefully. Yes.
That's good. Well, my flight's going to be short. It's going to be like a 3-hour thing. So hopefully that's not going to be too bad. I'll just download I'll listen to our podcast and there's something.
Yeah.
Download an episode. But anyway, real quick. No, go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
I was going to say, if it helps also, while people are drinking or eating, the flight attendants also pass by and they're like, did you already take your sip? Like, yeah. Okay, well, put your mask back on and then take it back off when you're going to take another sip.
Oh, good.
So a lot of that.
Yeah, the audience, again, like the audience I was with, they were more like everyone behaved. Everyone was like kind of rowdy talking before the movie. But as soon as the preview started, everyone shut up and everyone was good about it. No, but I didn't see anybody on their phone. So there were a couple. It was so quiet in there. I heard a couple of stomach rumblings and people were very hungry. It was kind of funny.
It was like those people that refused to admit the fucking, what is it, coconut oil that they used to pop the popcorn is not making your stomach upset. Those people are such idiots. That's me. I do that all the time. And then every time there's a quiet moment, that's when you're like, oh, please don't do it, stomach. But I think the stress is making your stomach do it again.
Yeah, that's funny. I'll give you some like mini thoughts or many thoughts about it. I really liked it.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to... Okay, I actually don't know the full premise of this. I've seen the trailer, so I'm pretty stoked about, like, we finally get another fucking weed movie, right? And, like, you know, Green Knight, Father Earth, or who's, like, I guess Mother Earth is Gaia, right? And is a whole planet. Yeah. Father Earth is there to cultivate the weed plants, right? And that's why he's the Green Knight.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah. Nailed it. I was going to ask, what do you think it's about?
It's about weed. Everything's about weed. California, baby.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a movie a lot of people... It's shot very, deliberate, very fantastical. I guess as the trailer kind of shows it, and it's... The pacing is super slow and non-linear, so... It's kind of a thinking movie, you know,
Light
on premise. It's very kind of experimental. The audience I saw with it hated. They're like rowdy about it. Like the independent arty audience is very vocal about when they're walking out of a theater, whether they like the movie.
Oh, so, man. Are you saying unsuccessful writers and directors and like D-list actors are upset about a movie they're not in?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it was just like, but I actually liked it. My fiance was like, I understood it, but it was not the right, it's not the movie, it's not really the movie for her, which I kind of respect, you know.
A lot of people hate the Fast franchise, and I fucking love it, you know.
Same, yeah, I love the
Fast franchise. A lot of people love the Fast franchise, I think, because you don't have to think.
Yeah, it's pretty much laid out. You just let it happen. It's about family. But yeah, it was an excellent movie. Really, really good movie. I think a lot of arty. It's definitely a Rolando movie, if that makes sense.
Nice. So. Okay. So like Censor meets Come True meets Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah. It's like Rushmore and Rush Hour. No, I'm just kidding.
Meets Groot.
Yeah, meets Groot.
And then you got Dev Patel as like the cherry on top of this entire cake.
Yeah. He's the Chris Pratt in all of this. Yeah.
Oh, man, he should be. I'm sorry, Chris Pratt. Let's replace Star-Lord with Dev Patel. I would take that. I would gladly take that.
Yeah, I would. Awesome. Yeah. But yeah, that was more or less my experience venturing out to the movie theater. I don't know when I'm going back with all these new variants picking up. I don't really. You know, I will, depending on what happens with the what's that one movie, the Marvel one, the one. The one with the 10 rings. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh.
Something 10 rings.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I don't want to get the name wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be, like, insensitive and just, like, say the name so terribly.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know so many people were stoked about it, and I'm like, oh, man, this is one of those things I've never paid attention to. Marvel, dude, come on. Movies coming out.
Shang something. I'm trying not to be like presumptuous. I know the title because.
Oh, Blade.
Yeah.
Blade Dynasty. Okay. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Oh, okay, good. I didn't
want to
like.
I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah,
because my phonetics with like, especially, what is this supposed to be? I know it's a Chinese character, but I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
I'm sure the people that wrote it were unaware of this too. Honestly, looking at you, Stan Lee. No, that'd be a fun one to watch. September 3rd.
Yeah, I don't know if it goes. If it doesn't go to Prime, I'm going. To consider watching it in theaters.
Okay.
But if it does, I'm just going to fork over the $30.
Yeah.
So it's, whatever the...
It's like still, even at the cheapest in LA, that's still like two movie tickets.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah. It's like $15, $18 a person or something now or something around that range.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm like, I'm a fan of Awkwafina.
Me too. I
Even
think she's
I
really
seen
talented.
Any of her serious stuff? Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, what's that movie she was in? It's on Prime. Her
Farewell one? The
yeah,
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's excellent. It's really good. Yeah. Man.
Okay. Yeah, I need to check it out. And if you haven't seen the sequel to the Rock Jumanji movie, you need to watch it just to watch Awkwafina play Danny DeVito for a little while. It's so funny.
Oh, man, that sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah.
And then Kevin Hart plays Danny Glover, and it's so fucking funny because he's actually trying to he didn't really try to impersonate anybody in the first movie. And then Jack Black really took the cake being the popular girl. He fucking nailed it.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
So I think really they try to up the game in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. And that's our stuff about everybody involved with the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Everybody we wish was in the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Make Awkwafina the bad guy for the final boss.
Give her a little boy's haircut and make her the villain in the Fast and the Furious haircut. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfection.
Awesome.
Well, so that's you saying we should all go watch The Green Knight, correct?
Yes, watch it. Have opinions about it. It's a very thoughtful movie directed by a really talented guy.
Nice.
So you went ahead and were showing me that somebody left us a message, our first fan message.
Yes.
Mega fan.
We got
our super fan. We got a voicemail. I don't know how we got voicemails.
Several voicemails, actually. Yeah. Several voicemails to our direct line at the office, which I don't even know how anybody got.
Yeah.
Since there's realistically only four of us, or five and six, if you consider your kids, your fur babies part of the group.
Yeah. So let's check out the message. Let's hear it. And we'll be back after it.
Hey, at Skeleton Boys, hashtag Rolando and Johnny are the Skeleton Boys, aka the Skeleton Boys, isn't it? Love what you guys are doing with that spooky movie stuff and all, isn't it? Gotta say, I disagree with your thoughts on The Banishing, isn't it? I've been across the pond for quite a spell, hence the thick accent now, and, if there's one thing I find terrifying, it's being very, very confused. And the ghost of incomplete thoughts. Whoa, that's a good five-word thingy. Don't steal that one, Johnny, ain't it? Oh, well, apparently there's some sort of time limit on these things, isn't it? What is this button? Okay, that wasn't the right button to push, apparently. I don't know. I guess I messed that one up. My bad, isn't it? Pretty sure I'm recording now, as long as I don't push this button. Okay, I think I got it. Let me just, okay. I'll cut to the Duck Duck Goose here and say that, thank you for finding and releasing some of my favorite treasures, and some I actually thought I had burned all copies of. Ronnie, isn't it? It's fine, we're fine. Water under the loo now, you know, isn't it? We should collab on a firelit banger soon, guys, isn't it? You know, let me know. Now you got my info in it. Well, stay spooky and always remember, honk honk. All right, I gotta go. I got plenty of things to do here across the pond in it.
Yep, and that was it. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, he probably doesn't understand what, when they're saying, isn't it? When they're saying, in it? I don't think he understands that's what they're saying. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Cool that he knows that we exist.
Yeah, because we know he exists. It's like a meeting of the minds of artists between two special artists here.
Oh man! And he wants to collaborate.
Yeah. I could. Well, I'm not musically talented at all, but so I have nothing to offer. But still, it's nice to hear from a fan, a super fan.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll ask him to try to do a theme song for us or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, we put these shows out and we just send them out into the void. We don't know what's happening.
Who cares what happens?
Yeah, we just throw these. We put all our hard work, our effort, all this work all week. We put it out there into the void and we don't know what's going to happen. So it's good to hear from people.
from the Goose Man himself.
The Goose.
I had to re-listen a couple times, but when he's saying, I'll cut to the duck, duck, goose. It occurred to me he's saying the chase. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Yeah, it all tracks.
All right. Well, yeah. Now we got Jimmy's information.
Jimmy's information. Hopefully, we got to make it happen.
We got to make it happen. Hopefully we can catch him at a good time, because if he's across the pond, which I'm not sure which pond he's talking about, but I'm imagining it's like the daytime while we do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, I do. For Werewolves Within by John Rubin. Starring the Sam Richardson. Coming in at number 5, I have Red Herring, the feature film.
Hair Herring, because it's hairy. Werewolf. I don't know. That's not funny. Go ahead.
Coming in at number 4, I have Sam Richardson saves only whites.
He's the white savior. I love it.
Yeah, finally. Finally.
Finally.
Coming in at number 3, I have finally a good Twilight movie.
Yeah.
Number 2, I have Guillermo lies for normal life. Because I was like, that's Guillermo. Guillermo knows that there's werewolves. What's he doing?
Yeah. Argentina?
Yeah. Oh, it was so great. And if people haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows yet, they need to get on that.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1, I have John Rubin versus Edgar Wright.
Ah. I've heard that. So Werewolves Within. Should we start with that? I want to start there because I've heard that a few places where people have compared this movie to an Edgar Wright movie. I don't see it. Do you see it? Do you see that?
Why? I got that feeling because it's mostly, I couldn't say it's like a Sam Raimi horror film where it's funny because it wasn't as graphic, I would say. Mm-hmm. But Edgar Wright kind of recently coined this whole like, or not coin, I shouldn't say coin. He kind of took over this whole mantle of making these horror movies that are really funny and not necessarily scary at all, or like gory.
Genre movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I took away from it. I wouldn't, and that's the only reason I made it one of the things, because that was like kind of one of the most blaring things about it was like, oh, okay, it's very Edgar Wright in its presentation. Not necessarily its style.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know if I just fucking
yeah
use the same word twice and pretended it meant two different things.
No, maybe this is again me not enjoying Edgar Wright's movies, but I gotta pick hairs with how people have compared it, because I think Ruben is doing something else as a director. I think he's doing,
it's interesting. Did you ever get around to watching Scare Me?
I did not. But I should have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say,
but you can, yeah. Is it similarly like an Edgar Wright movie, or is it more like this?
It's more like this. Like Scare Me, I feel like is more of It's his own style. I don't know how else to say it. Like, if you were ever a theater kid at any point, you're probably going to love this movie. But if, like, theater wasn't a normal part of your life, you probably wouldn't. Well, I don't know if that's fair to say, but in my head, you probably wouldn't grasp onto the movie Scare Me that much. Because there's nothing really outright scary or jump scary happens. It's just like several stories back and forth. And it's fun. And I got to say the same thing about this movie. I will say there was a lot of pacing issues. Even though things were still happening. I don't know. There were some moments where I'm like, he just needs to like clean this up. But okay. I think he's onto something. I think we got a pretty good like writer director.
And I think that's actually how I feel too. I feel like he has definitely has like his own like signature voice. It's a little more like jokey, a little more goofy than Edgar Wright, I feel.
Right.
I feel like Edgar Wright tries to, at best he can, with comedy, ground a lot of his movies. I feel like Ruben goes a little more, especially in this movie, like I feel like it's very like you have like these exaggerated characters and then they're acting kind of goofy in it. It's a little broader, bigger than I would compare it to Edgar Wright movie. But
that's very true. Like, well, I mean, also English has like got more of a dry humor overall, no matter what.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah.
And I think this one, you kind of nailed it on the head. Like each of them was a character because that's like a very American style of writing. Like this person's like this and this person's like this. And then that's why like it's contained to only like six characters overall, I guess. Right.
Yeah. I'm small.
I pulled that out of my ass. I don't know.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And did you know it's based on a video game? I had no fucking idea.
No, this I had movie no clue. Based, I didn't know
yeah. That. As soon as I saw the Ubisoft as Ubisoft, no, Siri, leave me alone. Once I saw that, I was like, I had to look it up. I was like, I paused the movie, I looked it up. I was like, okay, yeah, fuck, it was a fucking game. It was a fucking game they based it on.
What was the game about?
I think it was like a board game or something.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think it's called Werewolf of Sin. I guess I could have looked up the game, but
I could look. Oh, it interesting. Now. So the person who wrote the screenplay, her name is Mishna Wolf.
Ah. Mishna Wolf.
And then well, yeah, it didn't occur to me that Harvey and Cheyenne's characters' last names were Wolfson.
It's funny. Yeah. Right. So what did you think of Werewolves in, John?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was funny, you know. Again, there were some pacing issues, but like you had mentioned, each of these characters had like a very particular like thing about them, which I thought like each of them were like really fucking funny. Milana's like her I guess choices for her character I thought were really funny. And then after the fact I could also be like maybe they're supposed to be like sort of canine sort of qualities too.
Yeah. I agree. Without spoilers, yes.
Right. And then, you know, like each of the people had like I said, it's like red herring the movie. Each of these people, like Sam Richardson was never forthcoming about like certain events that happened in the past. But also, that never gets rid of, I don't know. Like
they
each
do a
of the
big
characters,
red herring.
Yeah. They each of the characters that thought like, yeah. Oh, okay, there's something fishy about this person and this person and this person.
It's like Clue, right?
Yeah, I was going to mention Clue, but I didn't want to compare it to too much.
I think they're, especially that middle part, I think they're blatantly trying to go for Clue. Yeah, I think, yeah. I think like nakedly they're trying to go for Clue 1,000%, which I'm okay with. I love Clue. I think it's a movie that it's like a cult movie comedy classic, I think.
Guy with like a stellar cast.
Right, yeah.
You got the fucking lead singer of that punk band Fear in that movie.
Yeah. But let me ask this.
I really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did too. I think you're absolutely right. I think we I think the middle part of this movie is a little all over the place, but I like the general setup. I like the direction. I liked, you know, the story itself, with the actual movie itself. But I gotta ask, is it a horror movie?
Damn. I feel like it's only a horror movie because of like a few moments. I would say it's more of like a thriller whodunit more than anything else. But then you get like certain points of the movie where it's like, well, you can't say this isn't a horror movie because of this anymore.
Right.
You know, I don't know. But for the, yeah, most of the movies like a whodunit. I was going to make a joke about the Orient Express also, but I couldn't like think of like a good one.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it is more of a like a mystery comedy, similar in the same vein as Clue, but the general setup is set up like a horror movie because there's like a quote unquote werewolf loose in this town, and they all end up shacked up in this one house. You know what I mean? And everybody's like a suspect in it. So it's,
also because everybody. This movie was really fucking funny. I gotta say that real quick. I read some of the reviews like of just like regular people saying like this wasn't funny, it wasn't scary. I'm like, I don't know. I think if it's not your type of humor, it's not your type of humor. But like the moments where he's like, okay, does anybody have a gun here? And like everybody had a gun.
All of the conservative people there all had guns.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's why we got some bad reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, and then a couple of people don't have a gun, and then that makes them even more suspect, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though that kind of goes out the window, because like you said, the beginning of the third act, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah. All hell breaks loose in the third act. And like, I feel like the werewolf, quote unquote, is sidelined until the end. You know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah.
Because of all the just general nuttiness, you know?
Because they're trying to build a pipeline. And then there's this another big red herring character who's like trying to convince these last few people to build a pipeline. And then you got Michaela Watson, right?
Uh-huh.
She's fantastic. Watson Watkins. She's always awesome. She's always amazing. Mm-hmm. Like coming in with her super conservative viewpoints, but the first time you meet her, what, she makes like an angel. She makes angel figurines of everybody in the town.
Yeah,
and they all look the same, I think.
She was super funny. Like,
yeah. Oh man, yeah.
When something happens to her dog, like she just like her the way she like gets to like that level of emotion about it. It was so funny. I thought she was hilarious.
Oh my! There's that moment. So there's this one other guy, the dude from like Boardwalk Empire and all those other fucking movies, plays like the hermit dude who does his own hunting and all that shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's like, he'll shoot you if you come up the driveway. They like really establish him as being like this hunter guy that nobody fucks with. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I forgot what I was going with there because I really like the setup of that character a lot.
Yeah.
Where he seems like a suspect, and then Sam Richardson and Milana go and try to talk to him to try to help them because they're convinced like there's some sort of like animal out there killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And where he tries to tell him like, hey, you know, just trying to be a good neighbor, like Mr. Rogers. And he has no idea what they're talking about. Like has no earthly clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then he comes back at the end because clearly he watched Mr. Rogers and he was like touched and moved.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Oh man. Yeah, but Michaela Watkins, man, no, she had like several really, really funny moments. Oh, when they're gonna go revisit that guy to see if he can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Richardson's like, anybody want to come with me? And everybody's like, nope, not me, not it, or whatever. And then I had the captions on, and in the background, because Sam Richardson had just found somebody's dead husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about that. The last two lines you get deep in the background are Well, I can't because my husband's dead. And then you hear Michaela Watkins' character say, and my chi-chi, my dog, or whatever. Those are the last lines you hear. I can't because my husband's dead, and I can't because my dog died.
Yeah, she was really good in it. She's, of course, she's in the AT&T commercials, right? She kind of...
Milana?
Yeah.
I can't... I feel bad. I can't say her last name. Or I've never heard anybody say it.
She's like, Russian.
Vantrub?
Yep. Nailed it.
I'm going to assume.
Yep.
Yeah, apparently she was not necessarily legal when she started doing commercials when she moved here. I mean, I could be getting this wrong, okay. But I read some story about like, yeah, and then, she got in and she's real fucking funny. Everything I see her in, she's always very good.
Yeah, she was excellent in this. She, especially in the beginning, she kind of plays like this like cutesy kind of like post person. What is it?
Yeah. postal worker.
Postal worker, yeah.
Not a post-punk person, like everybody was listening decided you meant. But she could be.
Yeah.
She was great. We should just go down the cast. Like, George Basil was really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, and that, I feel like parts like that are kind of hard, because either they're really likable or they're, like, really irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the junkie type person. And then Sarah Burns is always fucking great.
I thought they definitely... struck a good balance between them, because they have like kind of like the dumb kind of hick part to them, you know? So,
yeah.
But I thought they did a good job of like not going too far to where it's like, where it's annoying.
Yeah.
Or too little where it was unbelievable. I think they hit a nice balance more or less, right?
Yeah. And you said it right there. I thought they were believable. It was like, you've met. Mm-hmm. Crackheads like this, let's put it that way. I'm like holding back because there's a lot of things I could talk about with each of these characters, but it would be like spoiler territory already.
Yeah,
should we just do it?
Did you want to get into spoilers?
Let's just spoil the movie.
All right,
wait, no, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Are we in spoilers now?
We are in spoilers.
There's no werewolf. And then there is a werewolf.
Yeah. That was sort of trippy. I was like, so what the fuck is it called, werewolves within? Are they meaning like they're just like
but
hiding?
Shitty, yeah.
Hiding
pretending
themselves.
To be nice people or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because what, like everybody that leaves, the two like redneck people, the two conservative people leave. And then
the gay couple, the sort of liberal.
Oh, yeah, the gay
couple.
Yeah. They leave too. And yeah, you find out that the conservative people and the like crackhead people are in cahoots with the pipeline guy. Because they want all the money and they want to like,
yeah,
like leave. And Michaela Watkins' character really wants like that craft store to make more of those shitty little angels. Like they're so bad. They look like gingerbread cutouts.
Yeah.
So that was really funny. And then like the what's his name? George Basil's character had like a Freddy Krueger-esque type of glove on. He's like, yeah. What are you doing with that? He's like, so I can scratch stuff up and make it look like a werewolf did it. He's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're already here. We can see that you're not doing that.
Yeah, no, that was really good. I was surprised by that twist that everyone was kind of shitty in that town to each other. And then everyone had ulterior motives. And everybody was more or less just like... you know, self-interested, and they go to extreme lengths. They all ended up like murdering each other for their selfish, you know, for what they selfishly wanted.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was like, so this isn't the horror movie then, right? This felt like I put like 90s horror comedy. That's what I first thought.
Yeah.
Like big budget horror comedy.
But at the end, cause I watched it with my partner and, Georgina was like, so there's no werewolf? I'm like, God, I feel like there's going to be a werewolf. I feel like they need to pay it off that way or else it's not worth it. You know, like there's something about it that wouldn't be worth it if there really wasn't a werewolf. And it just ends with Sam and Milana's character just getting together. Because mm-hmm. that, I was like, that's kind of like, it's a little cheap. It's funny, but it's a little cheap that she's like automatically interested in him. But it was all a ruse because she's a werewolf and she's going to eat him anyway.
Yeah, so that, I kind of, I don't know, I was ahead of the movie. Like, once I saw her, I was like, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, I think she's going to be the werewolf. And because I figured, because of the line she said about how she was there 2 days, 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, so let me think. Who's new in this town? It's not going to be the lead because he's just got there. She's the newest person outside of the oil guy, the Emerson Flint guy, right? Or no, not Emerson Flint, was it?
Right. Or no, Flint is the tracker hunter guy.
The tracker hunter guy, yeah. And so I was
Sam
like,
Parker, yeah, is the there, yeah, pipeline guy.
The pipeline guy, yeah. So that was like, okay, so but it's too obvious if it's the pipeline guy. Right. It's like, oh, it's her. Because and then she goes on to have like this real like she comes on really strong, like kind of like you were mentioning. She's like baiting him a bit, you know, like right. kind of allowing him to be comfortable so she could eventually eat him or something, you know. And she was like too nice, too perfect. She was the only one that didn't really like.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. Then I was like, I'm thinking it's gonna be her. And then the movie played out, and I thought for a second too, like, oh wait, maybe there won't be a werewolf or something. Yeah, you know what I mean? But
Georgina and I both said the same thing. We kind of called it at the beginning, like, okay, if there's a werewolf, it's probably her. But then the other two options for me were like, maybe it's Michaela Watkins. And then I was like, if it's Sam Richardson, that'd be kind of fun actually too. If at the end he was just a werewolf the whole time too, because he was the one guy nobody suspected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
But they also a couple of people got bit, and I don't think Michaela Watkins' husband died, right?
No, he only had his fingers eaten and was shot.
several times.
That was super funny.
Because now, what's his name? Flint, or what's his name? Shit,
the main Emerson. Bad guy.
No, Emerson, the hunter guy. Mm-hmm. He got bit, but I guess we're not playing by those rules, right? I don't think those are real rules in this world. Like, they just got hurt.
I want to say she casually dropped, like, I would have turned you, but she could have been to Sam's Richardson's character. Towards the end, I thought she said, like, I think I can turn you, but then I think she ended up like saying something like, oh, like, no, I was going to eat you or something like that, or I was going to kill you.
And Sam Richardson, I know you're never going to hear this, but, you know, I understand you guys want to do your own movies and shows, but if you could just allocate like 5 minutes of each of the projects you're on to make sure that you and Tim Robinson are in the same scene together again for like 5 minutes every project you guys are on, make me very happy. Because The Detroiters, if you guys haven't seen it, is a wonderful show. The Detroiters is super funny.
I haven't seen it.
It's so good.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's just Tim Robinson inherits a ad agency from his dad who went crazy, and Sam Richardson's his best friend of all time. And it's such a, like, parts of it are like, I guess, sort of raunchy, but the relationship is so PG. It's like very cute and funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a fantastic job. I thought everybody did a fantastic job in this movie.
Yeah, same. I think that was the thing. I think I feel like with all the if there's good laughs, there's like funny stuff in it, but I feel like the story was probably not as strong as it could have been.
Right.
And I think there's definitely like it like parts where it lags down in the middle. And then which is unfortunate because it's only like what, like a 90 minute movie. So
yeah, it's not very long at all.
And you're right. And I think this might be what Josh Rubin does. I don't know his background per se, but he likes to have a lot of actors and scenes together and just kind of just act. You know what I mean? Just have scenes, just one big group scene together. Similar to like what you were mentioning, like a play. And you can tell he likes to just shoot that and just have the actors just go with their characters and just, you know, and give everybody an opportunity, a scene where they can really like do something funny, say something funny. You know what I mean? I think he did a good job of like, you know, highlighting everybody. So I always got a sense that I already knew who these characters were immediately. I was never like, who's this guy or what's his name? Or, you know what I mean? I kind of had an idea where everybody was.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah.
And he did an excellent job. And that's actually like not an easy thing to do, especially with an ensemble that big, like to kind of give everybody a good big moment. And I think he definitely did that well. And I think he has like this, based on what I've seen from him, he kind of has that almost like, I know this, I don't know, I'm not trying to like insult him, but like he definitely has like mainstream, he could have like mainstream appeal the way he writes. Like, I feel like he's very jokey, very...
like, he could work with James Gunn, probably, right?
Yeah, that right? sort of yeah. thing. Where it's a little cutting. It's a little cutting, but the key is that a lot of it is just entertaining. I think, you know, you can show this movie to anybody. I think they'll get something from it, you know? So I think he has, like, a kind of a wide audience appeal to his material. But I'm not sure it's horror or
yeah
horror movie. But
and that seems to be his thing, though, because I was going to recommend Scare Me, but it's not really a horror movie either. But it is within mm-hmm. like that sort of appeal, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when it came to people having moments, I'm going to say right now that Catherine Curtin had the best one, because she disappeared for like half the movie, right? Or not half uh-huh. the second half of the third act, she disappears. And then when Milana's character comes back up in the background, mm-hmm. When Sam Richardson and what's his name, the Emerson character are talking, which again, that was so fucking funny, because the Emerson character was such a, like, don't talk to me, I'm going to shoot you, you have like a few seconds to leave. Sam Richardson's really trying to drive down his throat, like, you don't know, you have to know Mr. Rogers. He's like, no, I have no idea who you're talking about. And then again, obviously he like looked him up and he was just like, this is the most wonderful thing anybody's ever shared with me. It's like Mr. Rogers is the changing factor for everyone. And then when Catherine Curtin is the one that saves the day at the very end, and I'm glad they just end it like that too. There's no like, oh, what happens after this? It's just Sam and the Emerson character having a conversation. They're about to get eaten because they're not paying attention. And then like a bow, the pipeline dude had like that crossbow. And then, the Janine character is the one that shoots the werewolf like right in the heart, I guess, or in the head. I don't remember where.
Yeah.
I just thought that was amazing. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Cool. Did you want to have any last thoughts or?
Yeah, I think people should watch this movie. I mean, if people mm-hmm. are into like, I shouldn't say camp, because it's not really campy. No, it kind of is. If you want to have like a good laugh and it's not like just like sight gags or fart jokes, you know, this one's like a really good movie for that, I think. It's just like more of like a sort of almost like for some of these characters, like a stream of consciousness sort of humor happening. Like flowing naturally. It was really great.
Yeah. I think similarly, I think this is questionable on the horror front, but I think that it's goofy. I think it's like skillfully done. I think there's a lot of like charisma from all the actors. But I think that charisma, I think, is there because it papers over a lot of maybe the shortcomings of the script. But But overall, I think it's a fun movie. Like, I wouldn't have a problem telling people to check this movie out. All right. Nice. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't.
don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give this movie 8 sexy spooky bones.
Whoa, 8.
Yeah, nice. I'm not gonna lie. That's because I am a simp for Sam Richardson. So I saw the Tomorrow War mostly because I knew he was gonna be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do 7 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
15
hairy bones.
15 Sam Richardson is a great actor. Bones. Yeah.
Replace right, Chris Pratt in every movie with Sam Richardson now.
They could just digitally just replace him, right? Like, I don't know. I just don't like Chris Pratt. I don't like Chris Pratt. Yeah. It's just
he
whatever.
Was okay for a while, and then like, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's over. All right, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.